Blog Talk Radio.
I would like to welcome everyone to John Talk Radio tonight. My music didn't queue up right. Can you hear me okay, Holly?
I can.
My guest, my special guest is Holly Allen. Thank you so much for being on.
Well, thank you for having me.
I appreciate it. Sometimes we have technical difficulties here.
It happens to all of us.
Yeah, it seems to happen every once in a while. I was just working on uploading a few songs, and it looks like we might have some stuck, but hopefully it'll clear up. First of all, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. And my guest is Holly L, and it's HollyElle.com, and that's your website.
That is.
And then you're on Twitter, Facebook.
That's correct, yeah.
Instagram.
You name it, I'm on there, yeah.
Well, let's talk about that. First of all, I just want everybody, you know, during our time talking, and even if I can't get any music queued up, it'll still be good just to talk. Because I can see things kind of spinning around in the background, so I don't know what's looping. But we'll definitely get all the information that I think people should know about you. And we were talking a little bit, you know, off mic about, you know, your adventure and music and coming from Canada down to Nashville. And I guess my first question would be, Holly, why did you choose Nashville? I know that that's, you know, when I ask people that, you know, they say, well, there's so much going on there musically, you know, of course it's Music City and everything of that nature, but what was it that was appealing to you?
Well, I guess the short answer is purely gut instinct. I knew that I was going to be leaving Canada and moving somewhere in the U.S., and I considered New York and L.A., and it was actually my brother who suggested to me the possibility of Nashville, and I thought, well, I had never been there before, and so we took a trip out, and I just fell in love with it, and I ended up coming here and going to school. I went to Belmont University. They had a good music business program there,
right,
which drew me as well, but mostly it was just the feeling of being here, and it felt like home to me.
So when you first, I know going to school there, I've heard of Belmont, and it's a great school, and getting involved in the music industry, I think, you know, I'm always captivated by that because a lot of people have this desire. There's a lot of people with musical talent, and there's a lot of people that have technical skills, but there takes a certain push and a certain drive, and I'm almost going to use the word insanity to
a good word.
Yeah. Well, it's like one of those things where, you know, to get into the music industry today and to say, you know, okay, I'm going to do whatever it takes to break through. You know, I've interviewed folks that have done that and that have gotten through, and I know people that have gotten through that are trying to get back through and they can't, and things have really changed.
Right.
Yeah,
it's you have to be crazy. That's a good point. Most people would just pack up and move. Like, you hear a lot of stories, like, say, movie stars will say, you know, then after high school, I packed up and I moved to L.A., which I would have done, and you got to be a certain type of person to want to do that. But being a Canadian, you can't just really do that, not legally anyway. So I thought I'd go to school, and it was a nice way to allow me to start out here in Nashville.
So let's just kind of hone in on that. So, you know, you're from Canada, and I think you're from kind of a small town, if I read correctly, but, you know, not a huge town.
Right. It's sort of a small town outside of a big city, so I grew up in a little town, and I had that city life at the same time if we wanted to drive in.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. I like that. So when you first came to Nashville, just – describe to us what it was like, you know, when you, I don't know, you flew in and you, you know, you went to your first place and you just started looking around. Describe to people what that was like. And also, I'm going to dovetail into that, Holly, the this thing I've been kind of kicking around about geography and songwriting, where, you know, some people, you know, that are they're really into music and really into songwriting, and they can kind of change when they change in geography and how that influences people. What was it like when you first got to Nashville, and then how did that affect you musically?
Well, first of all, I came with my brother, the brother I had mentioned that suggested it to me. We got on a plane and we came here and we stayed in a hotel. We didn't know anything about anything, so we did some research online and we just basically did the tourist thing. We came and went to the Opry and looked around Broadway and just got the feel of the town. And what I liked about it was, like I said, I was in the country and that's where I went to school, but we spent a lot of time in the city of Calgary is what it's called, and it's very hustle and bustle there. People are moving fast and running around with briefcases and, you know, coming here, everyone is so just like calm and laid back. And, you know, I really like that. That was something that drew me to wanting to be here. And so when I decided to move to town, I did kind of do, well, I wouldn't say I did the country thing in that my music that I would write was country. Well, I have written country too, but my own personal artist music didn't turn country or anything, but I did go and do some shows where I would cover country music and wear cowboy boots, and you kind of fall into that trap a little bit, and I was like, what am I doing? I did do that for a little bit, but I wouldn't say that it changed like the core of my artistry.
Well, I was going to ask you, Holly, if you had a cowboy hat. That was going to be the
of
first
course.
Thing.
Well, actually, coming from Calgary, and right now they just started the Calgary Stampede, which is our claim to fame in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. It's a rodeo and a fair and just basically a big party for 10 days that goes on. It's happening in Calgary right now, started on July 4th, and everybody there is wearing cowboy hats and cowboy boots right now, I guarantee you. So I already had my boots and hats.
That's pretty good. And you know, I just, we talked, you know, about, I guess you would call it, you know, your love for pop music and how
yes.
that's what you wanted to do. And being in Nashville, and I know learning music is, it can, if you learn the industry and you learn the business and you learn how to deal with it, then you can use that in any kind of music. But was
yes.
it, how did it feel when you were there and going to the Opry and doing all that and feeling that whole country vibe, I mean, intense vibe? Did you think, well, where's there a club that plays pop music? Or are there stations that can help me out? How did you try to channel into that part without compromising your you know, what you wanted to do musically?
Right. I think I thought that at first. I think like anyone, you have an idea in your head about something that's just based on stereotypes or what you've heard, and you don't really know until you get there. So when I first moved to town, I was sort of feeling that, oh, it's only country here, and there's not really room for anything else. And people were constantly asking me when I would tell them that I was a singer-songwriter. They would find out that I wasn't country. They would be like, what are you doing here? And I started to almost wonder that myself. But the truth is that there's so much more here than just that. And that leads me into my theory about pop music, which actually follows, which is that pop music to me, you know, is just popular music, something that is catchy, that is mainstream, that everyone can relate to and understand and enjoy. And so to me, I think you can find pop music in elements of every single genre. So that became more clear to me living here and being around songwriters and publishing companies and at school and people that I met. You know, a good song is a good song. And that's what I think pop music is, good music.
Well,
you'll see that certain things cross over to mainstream, whether they're from country like Taylor Swift or Lady Antebellum or from the rock side or any side that becomes mainstream, and that's what pop is to me. That's what I mean when I say pop.
Well, yeah, and that's a big, pretty big thing going on now, too, because when you were talking about what they call a crossover, and, of course, you know, you want to hit people to – the whole idea, I guess, if I get it correctly, and I was a little sarcastic there, is to get people to listen to your music, you know, and
right.
Whatever it might be. Now, with me, I've, you know, I've never really been into country music, and I've always kind of started off
with jazz. I wasn't growing up either. Nope.
Yeah, and I was, you know, pretty much didn't really get it, and to this point, I still don't that much, but I'm starting to learn, because doing this show, I've been doing this show for about 6 years, and when I start, the whole idea was just to talk to musicians. So someone said to me, you know, well, you should do some shows on the blues because you really don't know anything about it. And I didn't. So I did Holly a whole year, and I interviewed people, you know, that were into the blues. And there's a real stigma with the blues. I mean, it's like a lot of people are incredible, but they can't get gigs anywhere. Because who wants to party down and listen to the blues? It's like, you know
right.
what I mean? Yeah, so the same thing would happen with country. It was like, okay, I got this, you know, person to have on your show. What do you think? And I, well, you know, I'll listen to the music. But I have to be honest, Holly, I wasn't a big fan of the music. Not that they weren't good. They're awesome. I mean, tremendously good. But I just didn't personally get it. So I started.
I think that depends on the person too. Like, you know, some people just, there are certain types of music that they don't get or that don't speak to them as much. For me, that kind of music is jazz. I'm not hating on jazz. I appreciate it, and you got to be a great artist to do it. But that's just, it doesn't flow easily for me. I don't understand it as well as other music. I can't sit through it, enjoy it the same way that I would with other types of music. I can still appreciate it, but it's personal taste.
Yeah, and that's how it is with me. It's like I can go to a jazz club and just get lost there because I just,
really?
You know, yeah, just think it's so amazing. But to me, I listen to some of the older country, like, you know, George Jones and things like that, and I get that, you know, Merle Haggard. I get that. I get bluegrass. I understand that.
Oh, bluegrass. It was so amazing for me to discover that because I had heard a lot of country growing up, being from the country, but I didn't hear anything that I was enjoying about it until Garth Brooks and Faith Hill and Dixie Chicks had their sort of crossover stuff. That's when I started to listen, and Shania Twain, to country. But when I moved here and first heard bluegrass music, oh my goodness, I love bluegrass. I don't know why it's sort of far removed. Well, I mean, you can find a common thread in all music, but it's a lot different than what I'm used to, and I just love it.
Well, I was going to ask you that. What do you think that is? Because I'm the exact same way. I
think it's the heart in it. It's got to be, because that's when I'm writing music and when I connect to music, unless I'm just having fun and I want to dance, have a good time, there's that kind of music. But there are certain songs that cut to the core and everybody can just, it tugs at your heart. And I think that's one of the elements of bluegrass, is that it's either like a song that's been passed down for so long that has all these emotional sort of attachments to it, and it comes straight from somebody's soul. Like when you hear, I love like a bluegrass tenor male, I don't know, they just sing and it makes you cry. Like I'll sit in places in here in Nashville and listen to people that come through, and it's a different bands every time. I've never necessarily heard of them, and I just sit there and listen, and it's beautiful because it's sort of like raw and just so emotional and straight to your heart.
No, I think that's a very good way of describing it. It's to me, Holly, it's like this honesty in the music.
That's such a big thing I strive for.
Well, that's what, you know, I found out through, you know, the blues and through country, that when you said earlier in the conversation, you know, a good song is a good song.
Yes.
And I could listen to it and I would think, you know, like it would just blow me away because the song came directly from the heart.
Right, and you can feel that. You can't fake that.
No, you can't fake that. So let's talk about that. I mean, we're going to – I apologize, but it looks like my music files are just stupid today.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah. So we'll have to we'll just talk, and I think that's fine. If you're okay with it, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good. So let's talk about that. I mean, with your music – and for people that are listening to this, I will play Holly's music and a separate show I'll set up after this.
Thank you.
And it will just be your music so people can listen to it and associate that. And
they're going to be wondering after all our talk today. They'll be like, what is this music about? Make them want to go hear it more.
Yeah. Or you and I could sing. No, that would
be. Yeah,
could sing.
We could. Do you know the harmonies? Yeah. Did you study?
I did study harmonies, but I love bluegrass and I can sing it, but I don't think it would be a good idea. We actually want to promote your career. So
no, I was waiting. I was saying, did you study up on my music? Do you know all the words and ready to go?
I don't know. I could fake it. I could.
Oh.
So maybe we need to do just a music show, which I'll put together afterwards. But I think you know, talking about this, you know, I just love the fact that I've never been to Nashville, and I'm not even that far.
Oh my goodness, you have to come! You have to come to Nashville.
I'm in Ohio,
so
I'm not that far. I'll come. And
I have so many friends from Ohio. It's so close. You got to get over here.
Well, there's a big Americana music scene in Columbus right now. Huge. It's like there's some people that, you know, I could throw a couple of names out that you may hear. Lydia Loveless and Angela Purley and some of the artists that are out there singing. It's kind of country. It's kind of bluegrass. It's kind of rock. It's Americana. It's just, you know, it's kind of a cool thing going on now. And that was going to be another thing I was going to ask you, because with you singing, you know, the music that you you love and it's from your heart, do you have any difficulties finding places to play it? I don't think I asked that before, but
no, you didn't. No, I mean, I don't think, I think that when I'm writing the music, I'm always keeping two things in mind, that it be authentic and whatever the experience or the story I'm trying to get across is, but I'm also going to keep in mind that it's going to be commercial or something that someone would want to listen to. So I wouldn't write a track, or I might write a track where I would, you know, brood on for 7 minutes for my own personal therapy or enjoyment or to jam with friends or something. Maybe, probably not. But I'm aware that myself as a listener, when I go and listen to someone anywhere, I don't want to, you know, sit through 7 minutes of stuff that isn't, you know, catchy or going to have a form to it or going to be a way that it's going to be accessible to me. So I always keep that in mind. I think I do a good job of that. So I like to think that when I go out places to play that, and I pepper in, you know, some covers and stuff, because I keep in mind, just like me, if I go out and I'm listening, I don't want to hear necessarily your original music the whole time if I've never heard your music before. I want to hear some other stuff too. It's about pleasing the listener. You're an entertainer. That's what you're there to do. So I make sure that if I'm going to be playing a show, that I have crafted the set list in that way.
Oh, that's good. That's pretty good, because I've talked to folks that have, you know, they'll go into a club, Holly, and I've actually witnessed this, and I'm sure you have too, where, you know, there's so much that goes into it, and you're so excited about it, and you're so, and then there's people just milling around and talking, nobody's paying attention. Do you ever feel like throwing something at them and saying, hey, listen?
I mean, I don't know. I let people do what they do. But it's pretty good here in Nashville. People are so aware of the fact that, you know, it's songwriters. And so there's a lot of quiet rooms. But, you know, if they're not listening, they're not listening. Or maybe you're not doing something on stage that's enough to make them stop and listen.
Yeah, I think that sometimes it could be a little of both, but I have seen that, you know, people do go out to have a good time, so, you know, they're talking and doing things. My guest is Holly Allen. You can go out on her website, hollyelle.com, and also visit her on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff. And let's talk about your latest release. And is Leopardess your latest EP?
That's the latest EP, and then there's a single after that, which is the latest release, called Lifeline.
And that's the song that I have queued up that won't cooperate with us tonight. So
oh, my goodness.
I'm trying to talk to it subconsciously, but it won't listen to me. But but I just want people to know, and believe me, after this, I'm going to put together the music, and so you can listen to it. Holly's music is really awesome. You know, I listen to a lot of music, and when I hear music, it makes me stop and listen to it again. That's what your music is, and I appreciate what you do and what you put into it. So let's just look into your musical brain for a minute. What is it, Holly, that you look for when you're listening to music? And I know you listen to a lot of music. What is it that, like, you know, whether it's, you know, on iTunes or whatever it is you're listening, what is it that would say, oh, I'm going to listen to that again, or skip, go to the next one? Is there something that you look for?
I don't think it's something that's really explainable. When I'm listening as just, you know, I guess if I was listening as a critical listener, if I was like judging a songwriting competition, that would be different. But if I'm listening for my own enjoyment, like sometimes I'll go on iTunes and you only have just a little clip to listen to. And I'm just looking to be engaged just like anybody. Am I interested? If I were to pause it now, would I want to hear more? And that could be for any number of reasons. It could be because it's weird, or it could be because it's catchy, or there's an anticipation. I don't really know what it is. Actually, I don't really think anybody knows what it is, because when people ask me, you know, what makes a hit or something like that, the answer is nobody really knows the answer to that question, because if we knew that, then every record company and artist would churn out number one hits one after the other. It's not a formula because it's an art, because it doesn't, you don't want it to be too formulaic anyway, because then you lose the honesty of it. So it's like magic when you're putting it together. You know, you have the idea, or you might write with someone else, or you might work with a producer. And if everything just coagulates in a perfect storm at the perfect time, you might get that magic thing. Kind of like a person might have an it factor. How would you explain an it factor? You can't. You just know it when you see it.
Is it with you, being a musician and a songwriter, is it the pushing, maybe going somewhere that you hadn't heard before, or pushing a chord a different way, or a chord change? Is that part of what you look for in a song?
I guess it could be, but not generally. For me specifically, I don't know. I can't really like put a finger on it. I think I know a lot of musicians are like that, and they might write a song in that way to say, oh, what chord are we going to do next? Well, let's do a really funky chord. I don't really write like that. I write more, I'm hearing lyrics and melody in my head usually at the same time kind of coming in. It just sort of comes to me, and however you receive it is how it is. I don't stop and go, how can I be really like crazy and weird here, or do something different? Yeah, I like to push the envelope in a lot of things, but not in that way that I'm trying to inauthentically like craft whatever the song needs to be, if that makes sense. I sound like such a music snob right now.
Well, I think it's interesting because, you know, Vask, I don't know how many songwriters I've talked to, but, you know, most of them have different ways of approaching it. But when you hear the song in its entirety, and then is that, or do you like, some people do that, and I talked to Jimmy Walker last week, I had on the show, who was...
I listened to it.
Well, yeah, and then when he told me, you know, he woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and the song that I think is so great on it, it took him 15 minutes. I said, are you trying to tick me off? It's like, what? That just drives me nuts when people say that. It's like... It's got to be a gift.
But
and
that's when they're the best songs.
Well, and also, what do you think about this part? Because, you know, I've talked to people that, you know, believe in that, it, like, music is this incredible ocean, it's spiritual ocean, and that people can open up their, you know, like, I don't know, their antenna or something that pick up and it like, channels through them. I've never really understood that, but I did talk to this one musician in California who said that he goes into a meditation room and total quiet and sits there until the song comes, and the whole entire song comes. What do you think of that? I mean, does that like play against – that couldn't happen to somebody that's not musical, so it has to be that they have to have those musical abilities, you know, to be able to take that in your head, because I could hear like something in my head, but I wouldn't be talented enough to get it out of my head. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. I absolutely understand that, and that would be how I would describe it oftentimes. Not every time, because it depends on how you're writing and who you're writing with, but has that happened to me before where I feel like I'm a channel through which something is coming through that I didn't know where it came from? Yes, many times. Do I think that's the only explanation for how music can happen, or does that mean that it's a spiritual ocean? Not necessarily. Nobody knows. I don't pretend to know. But Yeah, and some I meditate too frequently, and when I do, I don't sit down and go. I'm not very regimented about stuff, and I can explain why in a minute, but okay. I do meditate, and often when you're meditating, I'm usually trying to keep my mind clear, and ideas will come through about anything, including songs. So that's interesting that he said that. That definitely happens, but I wouldn't sit down and go, now I'm going to meditate so I can make a song. You know, that might work for somebody else, but for me, even that would be too regimented because I'm classically trained, so I went to opera school for 5 years, which is extremely regimented in everything, and so now I'm allergic to any such thing. I can't I don't like, you know, pressuring myself in any way, which is why I don't work like a typical Nashville songwriter, which is, you know, most country songwriters here in town. You know, they work with a publisher. They 5 days a week or more, they'll go into the office at 10 a.m. and they'll have two or three appointments that day that are 3 to 4 hours long that end in a song every time. And to me, that sounds exhausting. I couldn't do it that way. I've had too much, you know, regimented music, enough to last me a lifetime. So for me, it comes in many different ways. You can't pin it down to just one.
Singing the pop music that you're singing now, do you ever just say, I've just got to let loose with you know, sing opera? Do you have that?
Absolutely
release?
Not. No. Excuse me. No, that never happens to me. I appreciate my opera training. It takes a lot of discipline. It serves me well as a foundation that I can use in my singing forever. But like I said, all of that was a little bit difficult for me, and it was sort of, you know, kind of a tough time in my life too, being away from home for the first time at college. And, you know, I haven't gone back to opera since I graduated, which would have been, I guess 2006 or 2007 would have been the last time I probably uttered an opera note. Actually, a family friend asked me to record an opera CD for him of, I think it was 3 songs, and he has it, and my dad has some copies, which he, I'm sure, gives out mercilessly, but other than that, you probably won't catch me singing opera for any time soon.
So is it, well, you know, I guess I would have to ask, why is that?
It was linked to sort of a really stressful time in my life. And when you're singing opera music, classical music, or performing classical music, I felt like there's one way to sing it correctly. You sing it right or you sing it wrong, period. And that's not the way it is in music and life. To me, if you're going to express yourself, you know, take Bob Dylan or someone that people wouldn't say is necessarily singing correctly. Is that possible that he can express himself and move people? Yes. So it was counterintuitive to me. I felt really restrained in that environment, and I sort of have negative associations with it now. Like I said, I will always appreciate the training, and I still love opera music, all kinds of music. You know, I'll go to the opera, but I'm a little bit, I have a friend of mine who, I have actually 2 friends, and we who are in a similar situation, and we like to call ourselves recovering opera singers.
Oh, that's funny. You could get a Facebook page with that.
Yeah, maybe. We'll start a reality show.
Yeah,
I'm making it sound so bad. Now everyone out there is like, Holly hates opera, and she's totally dissing everything opera, which I'm not. I'm just saying, for me personally, it was just too much, too restraining. It's very, like, you know, you have to practice 2 hours a day, which I never did. But you're supposed to practice 2 hours a day, and you're supposed to do this, that, X, Y, Z, and that's not really just the way I am as a person.
That's pretty interesting. I've known some people through my life that you know, I don't say this in a mean way, Holly, but, and this has nothing to associate with you at all.
I love everything that starts with that sentence, by the way, so please go on. I don't mean this in a mean way. I'm really excited.
Well, what happened with these people that I knew, they were so good technically with music, they had absolutely no music in them at all.
Right.
They,
so you understand exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I would, it was kind of cool because my mother and my grandmother played piano in the house, and neither one of them could read music, but they could play anything.
Right.
They could,
that's
they
the
could
background
play.
I come from. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It was like, and I thought everybody was like that. So it was, to me, it was like everybody can do that. And
Yep.
then, you know, I knew that a select amount of people that were very intellectual and they could learn music and they could, you know, read music and they could play these amazing things. But it wasn't, there wasn't really anything to it to me. It sounded great, but it was like, okay, it was all, I don't know what it was. It was a little bit soulless, but I that's
exactly.
kind of a harsh thing to say. But with,
yeah, I was trying to say the same thing, but it's hard to say it without, you're trying to say it delicately because you don't mean anything bad by it, but it's just sometimes it doesn't move you in that way. Sometimes, you know, in a performance, like the flaws can be part of the beauty of it. I like kind of letting it all hang out there and just going for it. I went like the opposite way with it now because, you know, you need to feel like unrestrained so that you can like communicate and connect what you're trying to express on stage or when you're recording.
Oh, I agree 100%. I you know, I have all these weird stories that, you know, I tell, and sometimes I can see like my wife's eyes rolling when I'm saying them. But when I was in the I don't know if you've been to, you said you didn't go to New York, but I don't know if you've ever been there. But in the sub,
yeah.
And you've been in the subways and you've heard the subway musicians.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Now right there, that blew my mind because I had a job that was, you know, where I would go there and I would, you know, do my thing and get on the subway and go to work, come back. And I remember one day it was like, wasn't a great day. I wasn't prepared. And I was like, my head was all like, oh no. And I was walking through the subway and I heard angels singing. And it was this gospel choir that was singing in the, you know, not too far away.
Oh, I love
from
gospel. Yeah.
And my gosh, and it just, I stopped and I heard, and they were, you know, there were no instruments. It was just them singing. And I thought, my gosh, that's just awesome. And I just got this energy and I was okay. I got my face.
Right?
Yeah. And
I you understood it. So when you try and explain that to someone and you say, like, then I felt this energy, it's kind of like the guy who is saying, you know, then I meditate and I'm a channel through which music comes. You sound silly when you're saying it. You hear yourself and you're like, this might sound silly, but trust me, if you feel it, you'll know exactly what I mean. So you felt that before.
Yeah. And I read an interview with Jeff Tweedy. Is it Tweedy? From Wilco. And he was talking about that, and they were asking him about his songwriting, Holly, and he was saying, well, he kind of looks at it like you have to work hard, and you have to do everything you have to do to get it in your subconscious. You know, you have to practice, you have to learn to play the instruments, you have to have the craft, you have to have the, you know, all the work. But then he said, then it'll kind of subconsciously surface. Without you saying, hey, put it over here, and I want this over there. And that's what
exactly.
I love. Yeah, and I want to ask something before I forget it. And this kind of blew me away a little bit when I read this. That when you were in Canada, Holly, you did you sang a song on a Klaatu tribute album?
Yeah. Yeah, I have like – sorry, what were you going to say? Go on.
Well, I'm a huge Klaatu fan.
Really?
I mean, I interviewed them, and they didn't – it wasn't an easy thing to do that. And
yeah.
I just – yeah, but I'm trying to – how did that happen for you?
It was actually really strange how it happened. First of all, I'll start by saying that I have a really sort of diverse – background of music because I started by like getting music from my parents, which was like 60s and 70s. Then I had two older brothers and I was listening to whatever they were listening to in the 80s. And then they went to school in Britain and I was listening to Britpop. I was just sort of like a musical like chameleon. I would like listen to everything that they were listening to and take it all in. So there's a huge range of sort of stuff, really obscure stuff that I love, and one of the songs that I always love was Knee Deep in Love by Klaatu. And I didn't necessarily know much about them. I just knew, I think my brother had it on a playlist, and it was just one of those songs, you know, in my subconscious for so long that I always loved. So when I first went into the studio, I worked with a guy named Craig Poole out in Salt Lake City, who's awesome. He did my brother's two CDs as well. I keep talking about my brother. I have two brothers, and I have one of them is also a singer-songwriter and writes with me a lot and has done two CDs. His name is Freddie, and he just goes by Freddie. Hi, Freddie. And so we went to Salt Lake City, and we were thinking about what songs I was going to record, and I decided that this is so long ago, I don't even know. I think I did maybe three originals, and I thought, let me do one cover song. And we were thinking, you know, what are my favorite songs? What would I want to cover? And we came up with Knee Deep in Love. And we reworked it. I don't know if you've heard my version. I don't even know where you would find it now. I should send it to you. I will.
Oh, I would love to hear it.
Yes, it's very different. It's like a soulful, kind of slowed down version of the song. And we did it. And I think I sent it to them just through someone on their website. I found the contact on their website. I sent it, and I forgot about it. And my father is sort of my brother and I's biggest fan when it comes to our music, and he's constantly Googling and finding things about us that we never even knew. Like, he's always the first one to know. He's the detective. So he contacted me one day, and he said, your song is on this Klaatu tribute album, and they had put together this compilation of, I think, 13 songs. I think it's Klaatu Around the World in 80 Minutes, and it was all different artists covering Klaatu songs, and they put my version of Knee Deep in Love on it. And I got a handwritten note from John Woloschuk, I think, is that his name?
Yep.
I wouldn't want to get his name wrong. It was so cool, saying how he loved my version, and he sent me another CD and mentioned on that song he wanted me to do cover another one of their songs. And I think it's got Home in the title. I forget what it's called. And I do still intend to one day do that. I haven't forgotten. But that was very, very cool to hear from him. I kept that little note. I think my mom has it somewhere. And one day I will be releasing another Klaatu cover song, just because I was so happy that he responded to me. But yeah, so that's the story of Knee Deep in Love, which I think is still on iTunes you'll probably just have to like Google or search Knee Deep in Love on iTunes, because it was under my old name. You see, Holly L is a stage name. My full last name is very complicated, which is why my brother only goes by Freddie, and I changed my last name to L. So I think my first EP, I think I might have re-released it under Holly L, so you can probably find that on iTunes too, Knee Deep in Love, but I will send you an MP3.
Oh, I appreciate that. I will definitely play that. And
it's very different than the original, which is awesome too.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, with me, it was like, you know, we talked a little bit about when you listen to music, what you're looking for. And I'm always looking for that chord change. It's just a little off or a little different, something that, you know, just sparks you a little bit. And Klaatu was incredibly talented guys. I mean,
people thought they were the Beatles for a minute, didn't they?
Yeah, like, well, there you go.
They thought that it was like the Beatles being – do I hear laughing in the background? I thought I heard laughing. Oh, okay. I thought I heard a background laugh. Okay. Didn't they think that it was like the Beatles pretending to be another sort of band, like as a pseudonym for a minute?
Yeah. Absolutely what happened. They when they released their first record, they didn't put anything on it, their names or anything. So.
Right.
Yeah, and it got released by a New York DJ that said this is the new Beatle album, so everybody went crazy.
Yeah. I'm a huge Beatles fan. My whole family is. So that, you know, that's another kind of connection, like something about that song and Klaatu. I was like, yeah, this is right. This is the song I'm going to do.
Well, that's a really awesome thing, and I'll have to dig that up. My guest is Holly L, and you can go on her website, hollyelle.com, and also all the, you know, Twitter, Facebook, and her latest EP is Leopardess, and I am unable to play music on the show tonight. This is kind of different because I've never had a show before.
I told you at the start that I wanted to be different, remember?
This is the first one. I started doing these in 2008. Holly L. is the first show with no music.
Oh,
this is
my
first.
Goodness. I got to be the one time that the music doesn't work.
And but I think it's awesome because I think you and I are having a really good conversation about music. And
yep.
I could talk forever about it. And that's one of the things that, I think there's a lot going on right now in 2014 as far as music goes. But there's also, we talked a little bit, Holly, about, some of the things going on. And I live outside of Columbus, Ohio, and with the Americana sound and this your real honest music that's going on. And a lot of it can't be packaged real well because it's not, a lot of it isn't even electric. It can just be acoustic and a lot of vocals. And I think that's just really, really awesome. I love that because you can't do a whole lot, like if you're in an 80s hair metal band, you don't have to sound that great. You know what I mean? You can have a tremendous show and everybody's like, the flames shooting and all that stuff. But when you go and just hear a musician and you just listen to him, and one thing I go back to is when I was a little kid and I grew up in this town, and me and my buddy were walking, doing a trick or treat, and we got to this house, knocked on the door, and these four guys were sitting on the couch, Holly, and they played. They said, "Well, come on in," and we went in, and they played like 30 minutes of bluegrass music.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
wow.
And we just sat there like, what?
That's awesome.
Like, yeah, and it was like, to me, it was, at that point, I thought, wow, that's pretty good. That's pretty good music. They didn't have to buy amplifiers. They didn't have to do, they had to get fancy haircuts and
yep,
boots,
they didn't have to buy candy.
No, they didn't even give us candy. It was
what the heck?
Yeah, I had to go back there and say, hey, you guys forgot. A long time ago, if you can. But it's just been great talking to you. Now, also, before I forget about it, talk about some of the things that are going on and some of the projects and maybe some things that you would like to talk about that's going on in your career right now.
Well, like I said, I just released my first kind of in a string of singles because I had done three EPs in a row. And I thought, I'm going to start releasing singles just so I can get the music out to people faster and, kind of gauge the reaction then and then look into. I like to try and secure sort of placements for film and TV in the future. I have a lot of contracts. I don't know if you saw in the bio or not. I was on Bad Girls Club and Real World, a couple of placements. And I actually have with the last two EPs, a lot of contracts kind of lined up where they say, a lot of different shows say we like the music and we're keeping it in our library and you don't know, they may never use it, but at any time in the future they could still place those
right.
songs. So I'm always looking for that to happen. You never know. Especially with an MTV one where I have the possibility of being on any sort of new developed shows that they come up with, and they're always coming up with new shows. So I'm going to go back. I actually, on this last, I've worked with three different sets of producers now. So I have a new producer that I work with the single on, and this was the first time that we worked together. I went out to L.A. and wrote and recorded with him in a matter of just a couple days. His name is Isaac Hassan, and he's awesome. And so I'm looking forward to going back probably in the fall and recording some more music with him and continuing this sort of single release thing that I'm trying, and we're going to see how that works out. So definitely looking for new music coming out in the fall.
Okay. Now, what was it about Ivan as a producer that stood out from the other ones that you've worked with?
It's Isaac, yes. Isaac.
Oh, Isaac, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Well, I've actually loved all the producers that I worked with. I didn't necessarily try a new one, for lack of the other one not being as good or anything like that. But what I really enjoyed about him is we just had a good vibe together right away. because I booked, I think I had like 5 days there, and we only had 3 days to work in the studio. You book out like a certain amount of time, and I hadn't even met him at this point. I had just been recommended that, you know, he would be someone that was good for me to write with, and so I just kind of, on a whim, went out there, and you know, we hoped that it was going to work out, and it did, and it was so just quick. For someone that you don't know and haven't had time to kind of, you know, get on a friend basis with or hang out and, you know, really get to know someone naturally and then try and kind of see where music is going to come from, it was kind of, there was no time for that kind of situation. It was like, you got to go there, and either it works or it doesn't, and it did. So what I liked about it was like how quickly the connection happened and how easily the song came out. We were actually done like a day early.
Well, that's really cool. And when you're doing this have you ever had trouble, maybe not, but like trusting people with your music because it's your music and it's your baby and you, personal. Every person that writes music, I mean, this is coming from their soul and their heart, and you're trusting somebody else with that. How are you, Hollywood, doing that as far as like directing them, say, okay, I know you're really talented and you've worked with all these people before, but this is where I want my music to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. I think like when I first started out, no matter who I was working with, I had a hard time. Actually, it was the opposite, voicing what I wanted. It turned out I put my trust in people and it worked out. But I was sort of looking to other people to kind of, you know, guide me or help me out. And I feel like when I came, my last EP, Leopardess, was really about sort of like my independence in life and in music, just realizing that I'm in charge of the music. And so I finally did feel like where I was in that place where it was more my baby. But at the same time, I feel like you go and work with someone, and if you click with them and you're going to work with them, then that's not going to be an issue, if that makes sense. Like if I went and I met with someone or I was working with someone and at any time I felt like I couldn't trust them with it, or like I was going to have that feeling like handing over a baby that I couldn't trust them with, I wouldn't work with them anymore. So I feel like if you have a good working relationship, which is why I don't, like I said, work like a lot of Nashville writers here will co-write with all kinds of different people very often. And I just have a few different people that I like to write with, like a small handful. And if it works, then I continue writing with them in the future, and I know that I can, you know, trust them, and I won't even have to worry about that. It's never an issue. And then if they recommend someone else that they write well with, then I'm probably going to write well with them too.
That sounds just perfectly right, because, I mean, you have to be able to – you can't go in thinking, well, I'm going to kick the amplifiers over, you know, and just come in like, here, I'm in charge. You have to get people.
Yeah, it's
because,
a partnership.
Yeah, and musicians are like, they have to be able to connect to you. Now, I know there's some great musicians that can sit down and just play, you know, things, but most of them want to get that connection. How are you, Holly, with if you're going down a different – if you're going – you know, musically down this way, and your producer or somebody, even if it's a friend or someone like that, says, hey, Holly, how about this? Are you pretty good with that? I mean, is that something, okay, I mean, you're open to? Because I personally am not good at that. So
really?
No, I'm not.
Well,
but I like it when other people are.
Yeah, I mean, if I like it, I'm just totally honest about it. If I like it, I like it. If I don't, I'll be like, eh, or, you know. You have to, like, communicate really well in a writing situation anyway. So you have to be open to what the other person is going to say, and you can kind of try both of your ideas. And it all depends on, just like a friendship. I mean, it's going to be different every time. Not every friendship is the same. Not every co-writing situation is the same. But, I mean, lately, now that I've sort of come into my power in terms of knowing the direction that I want my music to be, you know, I align myself with people that are doing similar caliber of work that I want to produce. And then, you know, like I said, a lot of times I've heard how I want it to sound, and I'll basically, you know, working with a producer, for example, I might say, you know, I want it, this part to sound like this, and it doesn't, you know, keep trying until it does. So it's not, you know, I don't find myself in situations where, you know, say the producer is doing something and I'm like, oh my God, I hate it, but I can't tell him. Like, it doesn't work that way for me anyway.
Well, that's good. Do you ever, when you're laying the tracks down, do you think about, you know, getting that from the studio and from the, you know, the whole layered thing into a live show? Do you ever think about how that translates?
Well, I've had to start thinking about it because sometimes you find yourself in a situation where you're like, geez, I might not be able to get the fullness of this track across unless I play with the whole track behind me, which I do sometimes. Like when people ask me to play a show, like for example, last year I played Atlanta Pride Festival. I was really happy and honored to play there. And when they first talked to me, they were asking me, you know, how much it would be. And I said, well, it depends what kind of show you want, because I love doing a show where, for example, I'll go here in Nashville and sit down with one acoustic guitar player and we'll play covers and play all of my songs. We'll find a way to play them acoustically, and they work. At first, sometimes I think, oh, my God, it's not going to work, but, it, you know, you find a way to make it work. Or I can play with a full band, or I can play me and the track behind me, and it's going to sound exactly like it does on the record. It just depends what you want. But, no, I don't like to let anything hinder me, as you might have noticed. So I probably wouldn't be in the studio going, oh, we can't, I really think the song should do this, but I'm not going to do it because I can't do it live. I don't think that would happen, especially, like, if you listen to, like, a lot of, you know, Rihanna or Beyonce or any kind of, like, top 40 stuff. You know, they're doing all kinds of studio effects that, you know, you probably couldn't produce live in some shows, or you could. Just depends on the show.
Right. So what did you end up doing in the Pride show? Did you end up playing with a band or?
I did tracks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was easiest for me to just drive out there. I took my parents with me and, you know, I brought my little CD of tracks and that was it.
Now, how is it for you, like, the day before a gig? How do you prepare for that? I always think that's interesting, too, because, you know, some people I know that are musicians, Holly, will just like, hey, it's just another day. And some people are kind of nervous wrecks. How is it with you?
I'd say I'm kind of a combination of both. I like to tell people, my word for it is I just get weird. I get really weird, especially the day of the show. Like, I'm just in a certain kind of mood, and unless you know me really well, you're not going to know how to be around me. But leading up to the show, I need, you know, a certain amount of kind of alone time and time to, you know, work with the set list or rehearse. But I don't like rehearse in a really regimented way. I don't know. I'm just a weirdo. I just like, I kind of go into hermit mode. And then on the day of the show, actually, the last time I played here in town at 12th and Porter, it was just a small gig with me and a guitar player. My favorite guitar player in town, DJ Phillips, who's awesome. He also does his own artist stuff. And he's in the Downtown Band, which is a cover band here in town. But, so on that day, I told my dad, like, you know, this is my show day. Like, it has to be a certain way. And he was like, oh, I know, I've seen it before. And I was like, have you? And it's nothing like crazy. It's just like, you know, I got to get enough rest. And I always eat a certain type of lunch. And then I have to go home. And I can't be bothered too much. I'm just weird. I think that's the best way to put it. I get weird.
That kind of explains every day of my life, so maybe I'm getting
really
ready for some gig.
I don't feel so bad. Just tell people if they ask, then just be like, it's my show day. I'm getting ready.
It's my artistic way I do things. Leave me alone.
Right.
Yeah.
Artists, we have an excuse. We can be weird all the time. Like you said, you have to be crazy to be an artist.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Anything goes when you're an artist.
Holly, do you remember the first song you wrote?
I don't remember the specific song. I remember some of my older songs, which are really cheesy. I was thinking about this the other day because I read an article where somebody was like citing verses from their first song ever written. And I was like, I wish I could do that. I should go the next time I'm home in Canada and look in my old notes in my room at my parents' house and see my songbook. But I don't know what the first one would have been. But then again, I can't remember, you know, what happened yesterday. I don't have a great memory for stuff.
Are you pretty good at, like, listening to your older stuff and it's okay? I mean, because you've probably come a long way. Is it like, bring back memories? And I know some people, it's kind of different listening to older stuff and newer stuff and things like that. So to you, it's, like, pretty cool listening to all the different phases of your musical career?
I think most people that are in any kind of, you know, whether you're, like, you know, making movies or music or whatever, if you go back and watch it, you're obviously going to think of 10,000 things you would have done better. But I try really hard not to do that because I have just kind of a general, you know, way of thinking about things, which is, you know, no regrets for anything. That was, you know, good for what it was. And I'm going to try not to critique it and just enjoy it for what it is. But, I mean, you know, I can enjoy it to an extent. I don't know that I could watch, like, say, long performances or something. It would be probably pretty painful. But, you know, I'm fine with it. It got me to where I am now. So, you know.
That's great. Well, Holly, it's been awesome talking to you. I really love talking to
you. You too.
We'll have to do it again.
I know, I could go on forever.
Well, this has been really good because I've never done one, but it's like, you know, you stop and you have to get my brain going again. So this way it's really been a lot of fun and I really appreciate it. And I will put out I'll do a little show in the next day or two with your music.
Thank
so people
you.
Can listen to that.
I appreciate that.
And I wish you all the best.
Thank you, John. I had so much fun. This is awesome.
Well, we'll have to do another one. And
yeah.
You gave me some, maybe we could do one with Freddie and you could sing with him. Say,
yeah. Oh, he would love that. Actually, he's coming to town in October. Yeah.
We could do that. Yeah, we could do that.
Okay.
Well, thanks a lot, Holly. And thanks, everyone, for listening to John Talk Radio. And we appreciate it. And everybody have a great evening. Good night, Holly.
Good night.